the little tiny one chapter book of Jude, if you would please, for our opening scripture this morning, verses 17 through 21. And it's kind of an admonition, but also a word of encouragement to the body of Christ. And I know that each generation that has lived thought in their generation that it was in the end times. And depending on how old you are, it really could be the end times. But I don't mean it quite like that, but each generation has said that for a long time. And there were some signs given in the Word that alerted us to that truth. And this is one of them. But beloved, I always love that word beloved, because so many people have such a bad attitude towards God and what He's like and who He is. But when He calls you His beloveds, that's very dear and that's very precious. And you may not know another person who calls you really biblically who you are. You're the beloved of the Lord. That is such a term of endearment. And don't be quick and hasty to read over words like that. Take the time and think about, that's your daddy talking to you through this man named Jude. But it was the Lord speaking to you through him. So when you see the word beloved, no, that's how your daddy sees you. Okay, that's good for starters. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's about to say isn't the first time we've heard this. How that they told you, the disciples, or there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, since having not the Spirit, with a capital S. So this is very clear, talking about non-believers. But you, beloved, he said it again, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In the context of the rest of it, it's an admonition to not be slack in evangelism, reaching out and showing mercy to the unsaved, showing mercy to people that are going through hard times and problems in their lives, and being quick to snatch them from the fire, as he talked about, because the time is short. And so even though he tells us some things for our own personal benefit, the rest of it talks about things that are of benefit to those around us living in these times. But I want to come back to a couple of these. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Remember our teaching from Peter about add to faith virtue, and faith is where we start. So that, and that's always really good to remember, that if your house is going to stand, it needs to have a good foundation. And so anything that we do spiritually should be, the attention should be to the fact that we need a good foundation in our lives, so that when times change, things happen around us, we're not going to be moved. It doesn't mean we're not going to be moved to prayer, but it means we're not going to be shaken. We don't have to get into fear, because actually Psalm 91, God said that there would be no terror or calamities come near our dwelling, so you can go to sleep at night in peace and not get into fear. But that's part of your foundation. If you don't know that God calls you His beloved, and you're really not sure that He's talking to you, well, today let it be known that He is. He also tells us, He calls our faith a holy faith, a holy faith. Holy is because God called us by His Spirit. He's anointed us. He's empowered us. He's enabled us. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And our faith is holy to God because it's precious, it has value, it has worth. And not only what makes it holy is because our walk is called to be separate from the ways we used to live before we were saved. Holy means to be separated unto God, consecrated. And what did that? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. So our faith takes on another dimension that we don't generally think of it being as a holy faith, but it is, because our faith is in what our holy God has done for us, the promises that are in His Word. So don't take your faith lightly. It isn't just given to move mountains. It's from where it came from that makes it holy, and how it came into our lives. Because a lot of people put faith in a lot of things, but it's not a holy faith. Ours is. So when you read those little short words too. They're very meaningful. And praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't know how to pray for something, and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know how to pray in tongues, let her rip. Because sometimes you just don't know how to pray. If I asked you to pray for Pastor Sherrard in India, some of you would only be able to pray what he sends in his newsletters that we post to read here on Mission Sundays, and that would be the limit of your prayers. But if you pray in the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, He's everywhere, always around the world at the same time, and there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit, and I asked you to pray for Sherrard, there are things that you would pray that only the Spirit of God knows, because not only does he dwell in Pastor Sherrard, but in the affairs of his family, his ministry, every aspect of everything that you could imagine, and you could be praying for those things unknown to you in your natural understanding. So praying in the Holy Spirit is really, really powerful, and it keeps you from getting angry. Did you ever try to pray in tongues when you're angry? It doesn't work too well, does it? But you see, it because it's from the Spirit. And so your prayer is going to be perfect, it's going to be pure, and it won't be biased, it won't be motivated by how you feel about a person or a situation. It'll be straight from the Spirit. And it's really important to remember that when you get into a time of prayer, and you can pray while you're driving and it's perfectly safe. Looking for the mercy. Oh, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's really important too. And that tells me, that admonishment tells me that it's possible to get moved by people or circumstances that we forget. The most important thing of all is that they got under our skin, and maybe for a short period of time, who knows, we slipped out of that love mode and got into the flesh and done somebody wrong. This is so important, to keep ourselves in the love of Christ, because spiritually we have it. It's inside of us. But we still live in an earth suit, and it has feelings, it has emotions, and it's prone to anger just like anyone else. And to slip out of that love can happen just like that. And so it's so important to remember to keep walking in that love, and always remember, we're the most like God when we forgive, especially those that have given us a hard time, or we don't understand them, or we can't relate to them, or they do something to offend us. If we keep ourselves in the love of God, we don't take things personal. Besides that, if you haven't walked in somebody else's shoes, you have no idea why they choose to do the things they do. And most of the time, it's none of our business anyway. Our job is to stay focused on Christ and to walk with Him and manifest His love to those around us, whether they're saved or not. And it takes effort, it takes diligence, it takes practice to keep ourselves in the love of God, because it's possible to slip out of that sometimes. And when we're walking in love, we will be sure to hand out all of Gary's tracts this week. It just happens. You have such a mercy and a compassion for the lost and the hurting and the downtrodden and people that are going through all kinds of stuff. If you get out of that love walk, we become callous to their needs. We become callous to their conditions. And so it takes a real labor of love to keep ourselves in the love of Christ. And we will be more sensitive. We will be more aware. And you will have more opportunities to speak the name of Jesus. Everybody doesn't mind saying God in public, But you say Jesus, and all of hell shakes and comes to attention because they're terrified at what the next words are going to be that come out of your mouth. It's good. It's really good. And the rest of the verses talk about being mindful of the spiritual condition of people in the times that we live in. And don't get all upset over what they do. That's what unsafe people do. We just got to come to terms with that. Yes, they're subject to change, but we don't have to let them change us. And that's a real good word, because we should not let the world change the church. The church is called to be a world changer. I believe that prayer that Tom prayed was was very timely and very appropriate. While we were about halfway through that last song of worship, I began thinking about my sister-in-law and the chaos and the emptiness in her house. My older brother died on Wednesday, and today would have been the 46th anniversary. She's lost. She's desperate. She doesn't know where to go. She doesn't know where to turn. And I know that song is supposed to be about us and our relationship with the Lord, but there's also a very real in the now world that we live in too. And there are so many people that are in that same kind of a situation. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. When you've been with somebody for that long and suddenly, unexpectedly, they're snatched out of your life, maybe you can better relate to that. And so thank you for that prayer. Thank you for the ones that do call out to the Lord. And our prayer is always that they will. But sometimes life isn't fair. And we have to be very attentive to needs. And I don't know, but there just seems to be an atmosphere of time right now to pray for each other and those needs that you're thinking about in your heart, whether they're for somebody else or whether they're for yourselves. I don't know, but I thought that for the last 15 or 20 minutes, and I believe that Tom opened the gate for that to happen. So if that's you and you want prayer, now's the time. I just really feel that we just need to pray.